back to school soon. Not that soon, a little while away, don't worry. Back to school in a little while for lots of people, not everyone. Lots of people go back to school. Imagine you need your school bag. Mine's not very cool, is it? Imagine you need your school bag. What are you going to put in your bag for a day at school? I want you to just chat to the person next to you or turn around a little bit if you need to. Offer at least one thing to each other that you need in your school bag. What do you think?
Pencil case.
Books. What are you going for, Pete? What are you going for? A pen. Packed lunch. Good. Okay, that'll do. Don't get too excited. I can imagine there's lots of things, so we're not going to write them on the board. We'll save that for a minute. Come on, offer me some. What are you taking in your school bag? Lunch, good idea. Pencil case. Compass. Think of another one.
A pencil.
A pencil in your pencil case, in your bag, yeah. And a rubber, yeah. Well, let's think pencil case altogether.
Plimsolls.
Maybe. Calculator. Any advances?
A math book.
Good. Anybody else want to offer any more? Coat. There's a good idea. Well, it's interesting you say that because I think you're right. I was talking to somebody the other day. Everybody in school has to work on an iPad. Some schools, yeah. Some people have to think, I need to put that in my bag. Here's what I've got. My lunchbox is a bit empty. Let's pretend it's the end of the day. I found my pencil case. Don't know why you're giggling. Oh, nobody said this. PE kit. There we go. I think we've done a reasonable job at that. Now, I want you to imagine similar kind of idea, okay? We go into the street. And we do a little survey. We say to people, you've got to pack your bag for the Christian life. You've got to pack your bag for the Christian life. Same chat with the person around you. One thing that you think you want to stick in this bag to help you with the Christian life. What do you think?
Bible.
Bible, good. Bible. Yeah, interesting. What are you guys
thought? Christian book.
Interesting, yeah. Okay. All right. We're going to write these ones down, okay? Kick me off, somebody. That is a good idea. I like that idea. Thinking outside the rucksack. I like that. You want to put some love in there like that? Anybody else? Joy, okay. Yeah, okay, I see where you might be going. Bible. I heard that a lot. I like that one. I'm after sensible suggestions. Your glasses, so you... Yes, okay. Good. Note pen. Okay, great. Love, joy, peace, patience, fear. Anything else? A commentary to help you understand the Bible. Yeah, okay. Anything else? Your family, good. Keep going. Okay, well, we'll leave that there. Interesting. Now, I think Paul's going to tell us not all of the things that might be helpful, but the thing that we need most. Okay? Here's what it is. Have a look at chapter 2, verse 6. We're in Colossians. We're on page 1183. Chapter 2, have a look at verse 6. And then I'll show you what I put in my rucksack. You ready? Chapter 2, verse 6. Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." The one thing, now I'm willing to accept that I may have slightly led you down a path to get you thinking about lots of things, but the one main thing that we need in this Christian life rucksack, now I'm aware you can't put a friend in a rucksack, you also can't put Jesus in a rucksack, but we've had a go. You can't fit him in a shoebox, but you can put Jesus in your life. And Paul says the one thing we need for the Christian life and to keep going in the Christian life is Jesus. Okay? So all of these things and all the other things that we might have listed to go up here, brilliant. Good stuff. Okay? The one thing we really need for the Christian life. There he is. Now, Paul tells us, have a look at that verse again. Chapter 2, verse 6. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. How does somebody become a Christian? They receive Christ Jesus. How does somebody keep going as a Christian? Continue with Christ Jesus. All you need, all we need for the Christian life. Loads of these things are great, but all we really need is Jesus. And I think this is really important because there are people around who would call themselves Christians, churches that would call themselves Christian churches, and they would say you can only be a Christian if you get baptized in this specific church and are a member of this specific church. And Paul wants to say, no, all you need is just to trust Jesus. You don't need extra rules, you don't need extra regulations, none of that. All you need is Jesus, okay? That's where we're starting this morning. We're going to cover this up. All you need, well, maybe we'll rub it out. All you need is Jesus. And Colossians speaks of a realm of darkness which is ruled by Satan and leads to death. It's a sad place. But Colossians also speaks of a realm of the Son, the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of Jesus, which is a place of light and life and goodness. And what Paul wants the Colossians to know is that the way to get from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light is to trust Jesus. You don't need anything else. And so the whole of Colossians is about, hold on to Jesus, he's all you need. Okay? That's Colossians. And we need that in our heads before we read the last bit of Colossians in a minute. But Jesus is so good to get us from the realm of darkness into the realm of light with Jesus. Okay, so I think I'm hopeful that this is what we've got clear. All we need is Jesus. Now I'm going to ask Dami to come and help me for a second. Dami, I'd like you to pretend to be the Colossian church, okay? Come and stand up here. All you can do, okay, within yourself, all your acting skills, I want you to pretend to be the Colossian church, okay? You happy with that? You need one thing. Maybe we could just pop this here, look, in between your elbows, okay? You just need, that's, okay? Thank you, nailed it. The Colossian church, all they need is
Jesus.
All they need is Jesus. Dami, as you stand up there on your own, do you feel a bit lonely? Yeah? And a bit giggly. Fair enough. I'm going to ask you to come back in about 10 minutes, but you can go and sit down for a few minutes, okay? The Colossian church, okay, all they need is Jesus. I wonder if you can imagine them just getting a bit, is it just us? Are we, oh, maybe there's 15 of us, maybe there's 20 of us, maybe there's, but is it just us? Maybe they'd love to ask Paul the question, are there others? Or are we this foolish church on our own and feeling a bit silly and lonely? Maybe you can imagine them thinking that. Turn with me. This is where we're landing, okay? You're not going to have to turn anywhere else. Turn with me to Colossians 4 and page 1184. We're going to read the end of Colossians from chapter 4, verse 7 to the end, okay? If you need some help, stay awake. Here's what I want you to look out for. How many names there are, okay? You don't have to have that answer straight away because I'm going to give you a minute to count them after we've read it. But if you need that little extra bit of help to concentrate, here's what we're going to read. Chapter 4, verse 7. Everybody got it? Yeah. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. It's Paul writing. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greeting, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instruction about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he's working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is God's word, and I wonder if you ever read a passage like that and think, what is the point of this? Why this list of names? Why all these people? What is this here for? I hope we're going to get a little answer to that this morning. But have a little look down. You've got 30 seconds. I'm going to in fact, 20 seconds. I'm going to time you to tell me how many names there are. Okay? Repeated names don't count. Go. Stop. How many? 14? 16? No, interesting, yeah. Yeah. Okay. 12? Interesting. What do you think, Lizzie? 10, okay. Any other? 11, 12? Okay. I think we could wrestle with some of these answers. I remember counting, thinking 12, but I'm willing to chat about it later. Let's go with a lot, okay? In how many verses? 11 verses, 12 names of 12 people that Paul thinks the Colossians need to have in their head to know about. Here's why. It's true that all they need is Jesus, but they also need to know they're never on their own. They're never on their own. All you need is Jesus, but you're never on your own. And that's true because Jesus is with us by his Spirit. But it's also true because there's believers all across the country, all across the world, who love the Lord Jesus too. Now, I think Paul gives the Colossians this long letter to give them confidence to keep going because they're not on their own. And we're just going to have a look, little look at what these people Paul tells us about are doing. Okay? First off, we've got visitors with news. Yes, this one. Encouraging and visiting. Okay, have a look. Have a look. Verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. Tychicus, he's coming to them, and what's he going to do? He's going to tell you all the news about me. And have a look at the end of verse 9. Onesimus is coming as well with Tychicus, and what are they going to do? They will tell you everything that is happening. Paul is thinking, the danger is the Colossians. They might think that all they need is Jesus, but it's a small thing, it's a small place. They might just need a bit of help to think, oh, there's more going on in the world. And so I'm going to send Tychicus and Onesimus to them to tell them everything that's happening to me in Ephesus. Okay? Giving him all this, them all this news about what's going on with them. Here's what it might have sounded like. It wouldn't have sounded like this, but it might have sounded a bit like this. Here's some church family notices. Tuesday night, we've got a prayer meeting here, 8 o'clock. Please come and pray. Tuesday daytime, scaffolding is going up out there for the building work on the roof. For a couple of weeks after that, depending on the weather, the builders are going to be here doing some brickwork and laying a new roof up there. It's going to cost a lot of money. We've got some money set aside for that. That's really good. If you want to talk about money with Nigel, go and chat to him. September the 9th, Community Open Day. Here, open up the church building, invite the whole neighbourhood. Hopefully they don't all come, really, because that would be very tricky to manage. But hopefully lots of them will come through those doors, into the garden, enjoy this building, this space, and getting to know us. And perhaps we'll get to speak to them about Jesus. Now, I'm pretty sure that that isn't what Tychicus and Onesimus told the Colossian church, because now there are notices. But it's very possible that they shared those kinds of things. Here's what we're doing. Here's what Paul's up to. Here's who's become a Christian. Here's who's investigating about Jesus. Here's who's suffering and needs your prayers. They got all that information as Tychicus and Onesimus came and told them news. But it's not the only reason they went. Have a look. They also send them, verse 8, why? Why does Paul send Tychicus? I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. I would love to know what Tychicus said to the Colossians to encourage their hearts. I would love to know that. I imagine that he talked a bit about Jesus and he helped them to see that it was really good to keep going with Jesus. But I don't know, so I've asked Jill to come and help me. I've asked her a couple of questions to think about over the last week or so, and she's going to come and tell us what she's come up with. Let's just check. Is this working, Nigel? Is that working? It's quite hard to know when you've got two microphones on. That sounds like that's working. There you go. Jill, Paul sends Tychicus to the Colossians to encourage them. In all the ups and downs of life, tell us a little bit about how you've had your heart encouraged by others.
Okay, well, I was converted as a child, but then stopped going to church for at least 20 years. When I went back to church at about the age of 30, I had a picture of what church was like, which was all people of a similar age and background and all very serious and with a very good knowledge of the Bible, and I would feel very inferior. And what I discovered was that church, every church, I think, is a whole bunch of very different people, people of different ages and backgrounds and knowledge of the Bible and skills. And that, to me, was incredibly encouraging because I I tend to lack confidence, and I looked around and thought, well, I could never be of any use in a place like this. But actually, when I saw that there were all these people with different skills, yeah, actually, I could fit in here.
So seeing church life, that encouraged your heart. Have you got any examples of ways in which you've tried to encourage others?
I think you all have to look at what your own skills are and use those skills. The Bible tells us that we've all got different gifts and we must use them. For me, I'm a person who reads all the time. I love the Bible. I love reading Christian books. I love listening to sermons. And I love whenever something has happened to me that has given me a new insight into Jesus and stories in the Bible. I love talking to others and saying, I'm really excited because something happened this week and it was something new. Sometimes I know it goes over people's heads and they don't see it in the same way as I do. But there are times when I can see that they're thinking, yeah, actually, yes, I might be able to look at it that way. So, yeah, that's great.
Thanks so much. If you ever get one of those and want to tell me to encourage my heart,
I promise.
I would really like that. We'll hear a little bit more from Jill in a moment. Just a little insight into ways in which people's hearts are encouraged. So maybe Paul sent Tychicus, it's very hard to say Tychicus. Tychicus went to the Colossian church and said, hey, let me tell you about this lady who didn't used to go to church and then started coming to church, and she realized that church was for all sorts of different people. And the Colossian church, they went, oh, that's really encouraging. Cool, maybe that will happen here. So he sends him to encourage him. Have a think for a moment in your head. Who's encouraged you in the past? Thank God for that person. And then if you want to encourage them, tell them. Might have been 50 years ago. Send them an email, send them a postcard. Hey, you really encouraged me 30 years ago. Thanks. Don't need to say anything else, really. They'll just be encouraged. Tychicus goes to Colossae to encourage hearts. Have a look around. It's awkward, isn't it, when people say, have a look around. Come on. Look at some other people. Somebody needs to turn around to look at Ken and Lynn because they're at the back and it's harder for them to be seen. There we go. Linda, hello, I'm looking at you. Okay? Look around. These people here need their hearts encouraging. So whatever you can do to encourage these people's hearts, give it a whirl. Might be in person, might be a text message, might be a note left behind somewhere. Encourage people's hearts. What about further afield then? Maybe there's somebody who's not here who you could send an email to or message and say, hey, it was so good to see you a few weeks ago at church. How about we grab lunch because I really miss you? Encouraging hearts. Or think of Veman and Arisi. So if you don't know, Veman's one of our elders. Him and his family have gone to Sri Lanka because he's involved in supporting a mission organization in Sri Lanka called Hope of Glory Mission. We support them. We pray for them. He's gone over there with the family to encourage and build up. Do you know what he's done? He's literally done this. He's gone from this place to visit another place to encourage them. And I imagine at some points he's even shared news about us with them to encourage their hearts. So there's people in Sri Lanka who know what's going on at Berry Street Community Church because Veman's gone to share with them, but also to encourage them. They're back this week. Do pray for them. What about the people who can't visit, though? Have a look at this. Verse 10. I'm going to read again, and this time I want you to count the word, or I want you to count, this adds a layer of challenge, I want you to count the number of people who send greetings, okay? So not just the word greeting, you can start there, but the number of people who send greetings adds a little layer of complexity. Verse 10. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Verse 11. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved of comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. Verse 14, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. What have you got?
Six.
I'm with you. Dammy, I'm with you. I'm at seven, okay? We can talk about that later as well. We can have a battle about how many. I think seven times we hear greetings lots, and I think seven people send their greetings to the Colossian church. That's a lot of people to just be like, greetings, 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 greetings. Why? They need to know they're never on their own. They're never on their own. I love it when I get a message that just says, oh, thinking of you recently, praying for you. Doesn't need to say anything else. I just like that. It encourages me. It's just a greeting. That's what's going on here. And some of the people who send their greetings, look at what they've been doing. Have a look at verse 12. Have a look at the top. Look, see what Epaphras is doing. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. These friends, they can't visit. They've got responsibilities wherever they are. That mean they can't go and visit the Colossians and encourage them and take them news. So they send greetings and they're praying. When you think of prayer, what image comes to your mind? Emmanuel, come here. Have you ever played Mercy?
No.
Okay, it's a wrestling game, okay?
Okay.
Shall I go on my knees so we're the same height?
Okay.
Okay. You have to try and make the other person say mercy.
Okay.
Come here. And we just hold hands like this. Ready? Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Gosh. Oh, that'll do, that'll do. We can carry on later. Did you get it? He is always wrestling in prayer for you. I don't think of prayer like that. I don't think of prayer as wrestling. Sounds quite hard. I mean, it was quite hard. Sounds quite hard. These guys, they're so committed. Some of them don't even know the Colossians, but they're so committed to them that they're wrestling in prayer for them. If I heard that somebody was wrestling in prayer for me, I would be so encouraged. I'd remember that I'm not on my own. And there are people who are wrestling in prayer for us as a church. That should be so encouraging to us. Notice what he's praying. Have a look again at verse 12. Is he praying for good health? Maybe. Is he praying for safety? Maybe. Is he praying for joy and peace? Maybe. Here's what we know for sure. Epaphras is praying the Colossians would stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. He's praying for them that when trials come, when it feels lonely and hard, they'd stand firm, they'd keep going. He's praying for them that when they're not really sure if they're going to keep following Jesus, they're not sure about keeping on reading their Bibles, they keep reading so that they keep on growing. So that through years and years and years, as all sorts of storms of life come along and impact and pound against the Colossian church, they're able to be fully assured their salvation is safe. Even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it doesn't look like it, they will know. This is what he's praying. He's praying that they would know that their eternal safety is assured because of Jesus. What a great thing to be praying for them. How encouraging that must have been. I wonder what we pray for our friends. And I also kind of wonder what, in my own life, wrestling in prayer should look like. So Jill, I'm not asking for profound answers. I'm not asking for the answers. I'm just asking for... We hear Epaphras is wrestling in prayer. What has or does that look like for you? Or what do you hope it would look like?
I have to say that it makes me feel very guilty, because my prayer life is very much responding to what I've heard now and then promising to pray, and then a couple of weeks later I've forgotten all about it. But I have known people who have wrestled in prayer for me, and I am so incredibly grateful to them, because it has made a difference. I'm sure it has. And as you say, they have regularly phoned me and said, how are you? I've been praying for you, even when I haven't been speaking to them and telling them what's wrong. So this passage is a challenge to me, and I'm hoping that it's going to make a difference to me.
Great. We're going to pray for you.
Thank you.
And it might not feel like we're wrestling in the moment this morning, but if we were going to be people who wrestled in prayer for you, so that you kind of would be firm and mature and fully assured, what kinds of things would you love prayer for?
I think that God himself would be part of every aspect of my life. It's very easy to be a Christian on Sundays, and then Monday comes and all the other things are there, but I want to be aware of walking with God in every area of my life. And I think if I could overcome that particular challenge, then the whole thing about wrestling in prayer for others would maybe fit in to it.
Great.
So
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. You are so forgiven of anything that you feel like you should feel guilty of. It's really hard to wrestle in prayer. And Paul doesn't write these things to the Colossians to make them feel guilty. He says, there are people who are wrestling in prayer for you. And that's to inspire us and to help us and go, oh, I want to try that. I wonder who we could wrestle in prayer for. Take a moment. Think of somebody that you'd love to just be a bit better at regularly praying for. I wonder who that person is. Somebody you'd love to just pray for day by day. Maybe there's already somebody who you pray for in that way. Once you've found a person, just say a quick prayer for them. Amen. We're gonna keep praying for a few things now. But before we do, I'm going to tell you what we're going to pray for. Because we're going to pray for Jill, and then we're going to pray for this person and his family. If you don't come to this church regularly, I'd be very surprised if you know who this is. But can somebody who comes here regularly tell me who this is? It's a bit pixelated, but... Alec Catchpole. Where's he? Italy, Naples, great, exactly. We're going to pray for them. We're due to pray for them today anyway, but this is... I love this. He sent an email to his prayer partners. Guess how it starts? Dear prayer partners, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How useful is that? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for our sister Jill. Thank you for inspiring her, helping her to want to wrestle in prayer more. And we pray that you would grow that in her, free her from senses of guilt about that. Help her to rejoice in your forgiveness, to know you really closely in each moment of each day. And would she wrestle in prayer? And would you help her, please, with whatever comes her way in life, to stand firm in all the will of God? Would you help her to grow more and more mature in her faith so she can be fully assured of your goodness and her safety for all eternity? In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, we thank you for our friendship with Alec Catchpole and his family. We thank you for their love for Jesus and hope in him. And we pray for them on their Christian families camp. Please would you help them to encourage one another, build each other up, strengthen each other. As they look to Jesus together, would they be amazed at him? And we pray for their church building project in Naples. Lord, would you smooth the way for that building to be built on the new land that they've acquired so they can establish a gospel church that preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified for years and years to come, so that other people would be able to stand firm in Jesus, mature and fully assured. In Jesus' name, amen. The Colossian church needs Jesus, and they're not on their own. Paul sends visitors to encourage them, to help them. They share news. He tells them about friends who greet them and are praying for them. And then he also reminds them that they're in partnership with other churches. Have a look at verse 15. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Paul wants the Colossians to pass this letter on to other nearby churches, the one in Laodicea and the one which meets in Nympha's house. Dami, can you come up and re-be the Colossian church? Here you are. Here's you and here's the Colossian church and Jesus. There we go. I need another helper. Who'd like to be Laodicea? Isaac, can you come and help me be? Can you come and do me a favor and be Laodicea? Or you can be the church in Nympha's house. There you go. Inhabit. You are the Laodicean church. Okay. You've got Jesus. I need another person. Emmanuel, can you come and help me? You are, okay, got this. This is what you are, the church in Nympha's house, okay? And you've got Jesus. Okay? He will stay with you even if you drop him. Okay? Lovely. You were feeling lonely earlier. A bit less lonely? Church partnership in a local area helps people to know that even though all they need is Jesus, they're never on their own. So here we have the church in Nympha's house. All they need is Jesus, but they're not on their own. They've got the Colossian church down the road. They've just got Jesus. That's all they need, but they're not on their own. They've got the Laodicean church down the road. And they're passing things between themselves, passing letters, sharing news, praying for each other. And we can do the same. I'm going to need one more person. And unless I get a volunteer who's under 12, I'm going to force my pregnant wife to get up and come on the stage. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You are no longer the church in Nympha's house, okay?
Okay.
You are now Bush Hill Park Community Church. You are no longer the Colossian Church, okay? You are now Enfield Town Community Church. You are no longer the Laodicean Church. Your new name, sir, is Silver Street Community Church. Okay? Up we go. Do you want to pop up here, look? Do you know your name? You get to be the best one, okay? You are Berry Street Community Church, okay? And we'll just pop Jesus here. You've got Jesus too, okay? Here we are. What does Berry Street Community Church need?
Jesus.
Not even a new pastor, not even Bibles, not even this building. Jesus. Oh, those other things are great. What do we really need? We need Jesus. And we're not on our own. There's loads of other churches too who love Jesus, but we just happen to be part of this Together for Mission partnership. That means, has anybody missed the one? Spotted the one I missed? Causeway, don't tell them. here we are, okay? Berry Street Community Church. We've got Jesus, we've got everything we need, and then we're not on our own. We've got brothers and sisters down the road doing what we're doing, supporting us, praying for us, caring for us. You can put your boxes down and put your pieces of paper down and you can go and sit down. Thank you. I am glad I didn't have to stick too many things on walls. The point is this. Jesus is all we need. And we're not on our own. And that is good news. Please don't tell Causeway. What's exciting is that in about a year's time, there'll be Causeway Community Church that we'll have to fit in on in the illustration. And hopefully also Turkey Street. There'll be a new church there too. And then all across London, there are churches popping up. And all across London, there's churches preaching Jesus. And all across the world, almost any city you go to, there's a church that loves Jesus. Evidence that we're not on our own. We're going to continue to pray. And we're going to pray for those partner churches and this church family. Father God, thank you so much for placing us here on Bury Street West with the opportunities we have to share the good news about Jesus with this community and to be a witness to this neighborhood. And we pray for our community open day in the 9th of September. Please, would that day be so fruitful in helping us get to know people and introduce them to Jesus. And Father, we pray for Veman and Arasi as they begin to head home with their family from Sri Lanka. As they've been there and they've encouraged and built up others, as they've shared news and spoken of Jesus, would you give them good rest as they return? And we pray that you would help them to trust all their friends and family in Sri Lanka into your care. And Lord, we pray that you bring swift and quick and thorough healing to Roy, his ankle. And we pray that in the midst of the frustration and pain of being sick, you would help him to keep on trusting you. And we pray that for brothers and sisters in this church family who are suffering and struggling, some for whom it's inside and we just don't know, some for whom it's very obvious. We pray, please, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of waiting for doctor's appointments, in pain, please help people to keep on trusting Jesus, grow in maturity, and be fully assured that the new creation is coming where there'll be no more pain or death or tears. Would that encourage their hearts? And Father, we pray for Paul with his chest infection and ask that he would quickly be restored, but keep trusting Jesus. There's exam results coming out this week, Lord. You know already all that is in front of those young people who are waiting for those results. Please, would you help them to trust you, whatever the results? And would you give parents wisdom for loving those children in the midst of exams, in the midst of results season? And Father, we pray for our partnership churches. We pray for Causeway. Thank you that in Potter's Bar, they are meeting, even now, singing your praises, brothers and sisters like us, encouraging one another. Thank you that that's happening at Enfield Town, at Bushill Park, at Silver Street. Father, we pray, please, that you would strengthen those churches this day. Would they know deep down in their souls that all they need is Jesus? And would they and we take great comfort that we're not on our own? Would you help us to be a great part of this partnership of churches? Help us to pray for one another. Help us to serve faithfully. And we pray that through this partnership, you might receive glory and honor and praise, and more people in Enfield might come to know Jesus. Now this week, would you help us to grow in wrestling in prayer for one another? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're very young, you can do this, okay? You can wrestle in prayer. You can encourage people. Okay? Don't think that it's something that only adults do. You can wrestle in prayer. You could go home and you could say to your parents, we should wrestle in prayer for this person, and name a person, and then badger your parents. That every time you have dinner together, you should pray for that person. That'd be a great thing to do. Pick somebody and tell mum and dad, here's who we should pray for. And then badger them about praying for them. Or think of somebody who you don't see very much, and why not write them a little note to say, we're praying for you, and send it off with a stamp. And they'll get that and be really encouraged. I was talking with an older lady yesterday. We were at a family gathering in Oxford, and there was a lady who's, how old's Eileen? 95, and she managed to get out of the house with lots of help and come to the gathering that we were having for a wedding celebration. And we were helping her to get back in the car, and she was just nonstop apologizing for not being able to help tidy up. She's very frail. And I said, well, you know, you helped the family when they had triplets. You came round all the time and helped, so you don't need to worry about not helping enough. You've helped loads. And I wish I'd said to her, even though you're older, you can do this. You might not be able to visit very easily, but you can send greetings. You can wrestle in prayer for people. And people might not ever know that you're wrestling in prayer for them, but that is an amazing thing to do. So I might have to just, can we ring her later and encourage her that she could be wrestling in prayer even though she can't be doing practical things. And so if you're a person who used to be able to do loads of practical stuff, and you maybe you feel like, I can't serve in the way that I used to, that might be true, you can wrestle in prayer. And that might be even more valuable than making sure there's toilet roll. So let me encourage you to do that. Wrestle in prayer. Maybe you are a prayer wrestler. I would love to learn from you. If you think of wrestling in prayer and you think, yeah, that does describe what I do, be encouraged. And then please can you tell me so that I can learn from you. This morning over coffee, pause for a second. Don't talk to anybody just in that moment. And look around and make a note of one person that you'd just like to pray for a bit more regularly and that you'd like to encourage. And then get coffee and then talk to people, because if you stand still for too long, it'll be a bit awkward. Can we all do that? Over coffee, look around, pick a person, make a mental note. I'm going to pray a bit more for that person and I'm going to try and encourage them. Okay? Let's pray. Father, please help us to be encouraged, because we are not on our own. Help us to rejoice. All we need is Jesus. Help us to wrestle in prayer and help us to encourage each other. And now, as we close, please would you help us to sing your praises as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.